What's going on, dude?
What's up?
I'm just taking a fine sip of a coffee stout here as we dive into some football stuff. And we've had a lot of actions, really. It's weird. I mean, trades and whatever. And I guess we try to focus on Eagles stuff first and foremost. I guess we should probably discuss the Hassan Reddick trade kind of up front here. Look, he requested it. We knew this was going to happen, and kind of figured that was kind of the reason why the Eagles did make the deal for Bryce Huff earlier on in the offseason. And it was just a kind of a matter of time is to figure out what's going on. And I think you had some really good thoughts about it. It's like you don't want a guy like that that's unhappy and basically on your team and that clubhouse cancer, if you will,
Right. I mean, and that's the thing, like he never gave off the vibe of being a clubhouse cancer. And I'm not sitting here trying to accuse him or anything, but at the same time, clearly he's unhappy with the contract he's got. You don't really stand to gain anything by having a lame duck player on your team. It'd be one thing if he was on like a 1 year prove it deal, but he's clearly not happy with the situation. And it seemed like he wanted out. He did come out and clarify. He said, "I didn't demand a trade," but dude, what the whole situation is. You want to either get paid or you want out. And so, and honestly, I mean, with some of the free agents that the Eagles have coming up that they're going to have to pay, like Devontae Smith, I picked Devontae Smith over Hassan Reddick, and the fact that the Jets aren't signing him to a deal after trading for him kind of speaks volumes as far as, all right, he wants 25 mil plus per year. And for a 30-year-old edge rusher, I'm not willing to tie that up when you've got other holes that need to be filled. And as far as the compensation that we got, the Eagles were kind of over a barrel in a sense where, like, people knew that, all right, so we could either give up a whole bunch of assets for him now, or we could sign him as a free agent next year, or if things get bad enough, they're going to cut him. So, we're going to be able to get him at a discount. We're not breaking the bank to acquire him today. It was just, it worked out the way that it was going to work out, I think. And I'm not mad at him. I'm not mad at Howie. I'm not mad at the Eagles. It was a good mutual parting of the ways, and good luck to all parties involved.
No, and yeah, it was they had no leverage in the trade. You've commented on that. They'll get a 2026 conditional third round, which will become a second rounder if Reddick plays at least a certain percentage, and I believe it's 67.5% of the snaps, defensive snaps, obviously, and then records at least 10 sacks. I'll be honest with you, and knowing how you look at the Bryce Huff stats from last year, Bryce Huff didn't even touch 50% of the snaps, recorded 10 sacks, but I have a feeling that that'll be probably similar volume as to what Reddick's going to get. I don't see him really going over 50%. If he does, it's going to be, negligible. So that pick's likely going to stay a third rounder, in my opinion. I could be wrong, and I hope I am, but.
Yeah, I mean, I hope you're wrong, but I feel pretty much the same way. I mean, unless they're changing the role that Bryce Huff had because it's Hassan Reddick, and I'm sure Hassan Reddick wants to be on the field every single play because he's never really been that part-time player, and it's warranted that he should be on the field, but we'll see what happens. He's going to go play on that MetLife turf that, destroys people's careers. So
So
I
maybe he'll
hope
get a
that
couple
he.
games in, and that's what sucks. I absolutely hate to even think that, but I mean, you're right. I mean, that's what happens. But speaking of another, you already mentioned Devontae Smith. The Eagles are going to have to pay him here sometime in the near future. We had a major wide receiver trade today, with one Stephon Diggs going from the Bills to the Texans. And I don't know. The Bills right now are just down to basically Dalton Kincaid, All Dawson Knox is still there, I guess. And then yeah. you have Khalil Shakir, I think, is your only really wide receiver that's done anything. Mm-hmm. I believe they have Curtis Samuel rostered as well, for what that's worth.
I mean, they could sign T.O.
He's available.
If he signs to the veteran minimum, they could actually afford him.
But this was a crazy trade. So the return the Bills got basically was a 2025 second rounder. And they also, the Bills sent two other draft picks. There was a 24 and a 25 in different rounds going back to the Texans. So it's just crazy to me to cough up a couple draft picks and a star wideout for a second rounder. And then, which we've commented about this off pod already, there's no room. Like, who are they going to pay?
And I just, you know, just to break my own arm, patting myself on the back, I did call this one last season, the beginning of the 2023 season. I said, look, man, there's some acrimony going there. I said, the Bills are going to go as far as that marriage between Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs carries them. And the rift started and it got worse as the season went on. And it results in a trade this year. So
now
I told you so, but I told you so.
The depth that the Texans have at wide receiver is absolutely insane.
Oh, dude, they're disgusting. The rich get richer.
The now Diggs up top, obviously, but Nico Collins and Tank Dell were just absolute studs last year.
And they got John Mechie the third.
Yep. Mechie. Noah Brown. I believe he's still there.
Their offense is stacked.
And then
I hate them, they got Joe Mixon.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. They're going to make a run, and I think it'll go deep, assuming everyone stays healthy there, because CJ Stroud is the real deal.
Yeah.
They re-signed Derek Barnett, too.
let's see. They're sitting – where are they here? Houston has $12 million left in under the salary cap to play with. Buffalo has $4 million.
Golly, that's
Buffalo terrible. Is one of, let's see, 12 teams in the league that are in single digits with cap space, whereas the Eagles have $32
million. Yeah.
Cap space. So the Jets and Tampa are your big losers with only $2 million in cap space. Let's see. Dallas has $6 million. Where's the Giants? Giants have $8 million. And then it's us and Washington are the only two in the NFC East that have double digits. And Washington has $43 million under the cap. And I'll tell you what, they've made some moves this year that are kind of impressive. It's clear they're telegraphing they're going after a quarterback in the first round, or they're going to make some kind of big trade at the draft to get their starting quarterback. I don't think Mariota is going into the season as the starter.
No.
Sam Howell. Yeah. They're definitely going after quarterback.
Yeah. Yeah. They will for sure.
Austin Eckler joins their backfield with Brian Robinson Jr. You've got Terry McLaurin still out there. And then on defense, they beefed up. They got Frankie Louvu and they got Bobby Wagner at linebacker. You know, they've made some shrewd moves, and I'm kind of starting to get a little bit worried about them as far as at least on the defensive side of the ball. The offensive side of the ball, it remains to be seen. It's really going to depend on who's under center. But, you know, they're looking good. The Giants are a fucking dumpster fire.
Yeah. Dallas has done nothing.
Not only have they done nothing, they've basically said that we're not going to afford Dak next year.
Yep. And you have the cap still pulled up? What's their cap?
$6 million.
Yeah. Yep. I knew it was under 10. It's almost funny. Now, the thing I wonder with I guess at least how this draft's going to go. We'll do a deeper dive here, I guess, closer to draft time, which is what, later this month, actually. That's wild. Hard to believe, but the I think you're right. It remains to be seen what these teams will pick out of the draft, but I think the Redskins did the best job at improving from where they were at as far as making those moves. Obviously, you can't say anything about the Cowboys because they did absolutely nothing. We can laugh all day long about the Giants because I don't even know where that's going to go. And the Eagles kind of reloaded a little bit. Now they're it's still, you know, some big losses with, you know, we talked about it before, Jason Kelce and Fletcher Cox retirements and some other movements made. And, you know, DeAndre Swift goes, but then Saquon Barkley comes in. And then you just have some other moves that were made. The Bryce Huff, you know, move that we've already talked about, where, you know, we mentioned this already. It's like you're swapping out Huff and you're dishing out Reddick, basically, is how that worked out. So you have some interesting moves, interesting things that have happened. I'm really just curious to see at this point what these teams do in the draft. And it kind of goes back to what the Bills are at now. To me, if you look at the post-Diggs trade now, that's all you're looking at in the draft. You have no cap space, and now you have no receivers. Right. So, I mean,
yeah, it's, and I mean, like, there's like Tyler Boyd is still out there as a free agent, and looking at teams on this list, you know, New England could sign him. Washington could sign him. Washington doesn't really need him, but they could. Tennessee could use him. The Chargers could use him. Like every team that has cap space could use him, but then also so could Buffalo.
Right. And the thing is, Tyler Boyd's what, going to be entering his year 30, age 30 season.
Yeah.
He's coming down. He had a couple thousand yard seasons, you know, earlier in his career with the Bengals, but they basically have their Tyler Boyd. They picked up Curtis Samuel. He's a typical 600-800 yard guy. I mean, Tyler Boyd's basically that in his career right now. So they're really going to be relying on Khalil Shakir to do anything that Dawson Knox and Dalton Kincaid aren't catching. I mean, I don't know where else they go other than picking some up in the draft, trading up picks. You know, I don't know. Just don't know what they do.
I mean, looking at the first round, at least, if this website will stop jumping on me, let's see. Buffalo doesn't pick until 28 in the first round. So, and they're... That's, I mean, they stay in that spot. It doesn't look like they have a whole hell of a lot of extra picks, you know. So they're going to be hurting.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even if they go, you figure, even if they go the first two rounds, like, let's see, do they not even have a third round pick? They don't even have a third round pick.
Wow.
So they've got a first and a second. And then they draft again in the fourth. Unless I'm missing something.
No, I'm looking at this now too. Yeah,
in the fourth.
Yeah, then three picks in the fifth.
Yeah,
and then pick number six. Two picks in the sixth, and then one. So they have a lot of late picks. They could leverage some of those fourth, fifth, sixth rounders and move them up.
Yeah,
That's possible. You know, and let's not kid ourselves. This is a pretty decent draft class this year coming out. So,
oh, especially a wide receiver.
Yeah. So maybe that's their thing. Now, I still don't think you'll find anybody that's going to fill Diggs' shoes right off the bat. So,
right.
Especially with where their draft position's at, they'd have to really make a move then. I don't know. It's interesting.
Yeah, it's. You know, I've been looking up. Let's take a look at this Lance Zierlein mock draft 3.0. So they've got, let's see who they have. Buffalo taken in the first round. Now, this was yesterday, so it's not going to have trade. But it does say the departure of Gabe Davis stings left after the Bills add a faster vertical threat with a higher floor in Adonai Mitchell, wide receiver from Texas.
Oh, okay, so they're already speculating that anyway, just based off Gabe Davis. Well, that really ramps up now.
Oh, yeah.
So,
see, yeah. Now, here's my question for you. So they have the Eagles actually taking Nate Wiggins, cornerback from our Clemson Tigers, at 22. And they have Cooper DeJean. I don't know how the fuck you say his name, but he's they have him dropping to 29 to the Lions. Now, here's the thing. If I'm being honest with you, you know, we talked about all kinds of stuff. I don't know if it's been on pod or off pod or where, but we talked about the Eagles going and depending upon how far Brock Bowers drops, trying to grab him.
Oh, yeah. I don't think he goes that far.
No. He's definitely not going to fall down there. But, like, if he was up higher, you know, if they were able to trade up higher and he dropped a little bit further, like, into the late teens, maybe moving up. There's no way they're doing that. What I think that they probably will do, even though they need the corner help and the defense back help, I could see them trading, making some kind of deal to move up in the draft and taking a tackle.
Yeah, I can see that.
I would say probably a tackle, because you never take an interior offensive lineman high in the draft. You can always get them lower. It's very odd to see a team trade for, you know, trade up and then grab like a guard, and it's unheard of for a center,
right?
For the most part. Now, you know, Tyler Linderbaum and a couple other guys being the exceptions, but I could definitely see them taking a tackle, like trying to trade up, get a tackle, and then what I would hope is that they could stick around at 22, like make a deal, keep that pick at 22, and grab a Nate Wiggins or grab a Cooper Dijon Mustard, you know, at the same time, and then grab, you know, our boy Jeremiah Trotter Jr., and then that's it. That's all I need.
Yeah.
Out of the draft. But we'll have to see how they decide to go with it.
Right. And I think, you know, we'll have to do an in-depth, maybe kind of look around. We did this, you know, over the last couple of years, just kind of speculate and look at some different mock drafts and just kind of see, because there still could be another trade made. Mentioned, the Eagles have a ton of cap space. So there could be another signing coming along the way that we're not seeing. You know, there's still something there that could transpire, that could shift plans. And it very likely will as we get closer. But in other wide receiver news, we had the craziness with Rashee Rice from the Chiefs, and that's just a whole, I don't even know, can of worms to even get into that one. But
yeah, I mean, and now correct me if I'm wrong. So what happened is there was a vehicle that was registered to him was involved in a traffic fatality due to racing, and then the operator and another passenger were seen fleeing the scene, but they can't, so far they haven't been able to necessarily say, oh yeah, it was him.
It was his vehicle. Okay. So basically, you know, this came out earlier today that he's accepted full responsibility for his role. But it was a Corvette and a Lamborghini that were racing along a stretch of, says the North Central Expressway in Dallas. But the said that the Lamborghini, I don't know how to say, I'll butcher this, the Urus, U-R-U-S, that Rice was the one that was renting it at the sum of $10,000 a month. And he was the only, and he was the only one contractually allowed to drive it. Now, obviously, we all know how that works with rental cars. So whether you're paying $50 a day or $10,000 a month, doesn't matter. When you sign that contract, you're supposed to be the only one that drives it. But, and you know, you come to find out that, you know, whatever. Now, here's the insane thing to me. I didn't even realize the guy's an NFL player, but he's 22 years old. Most people can't even rent a car until they're 25.
Yeah. I mean, I guess if you've got that kind of money, and it's, I mean, let's face it. Look, he's paying that much a month. He's essentially leasing it. Yeah. So he probably went to a dealership. I don't know of any, you know, he's not going to Hertz and renting a car from like
no.
a Lamborghini from Hertz.
I laughed at that whenever I saw that. I was like, oh, I'm sorry, he's 23, not 22.
Wow.
Yeah. Ooh. But no, so who knows? I guess you know, he is cooperating now. I don't know that what comes of this. I'm sure there'll be some kind of, you know, NFL suspension on this and whatever other slap on the wrist he's going to get. I really don't know what the outcome's going to be, but what a just messed up, convoluted, you know, it's like, look, dude, you were just won a Super Bowl in your, you know, first run there, first year with the Chiefs. Like, come on, really? Like, let's not be stupid here. You know, what regardless of what the level of involvement was, whether you're behind the wheel or not.
Right.
That's just, you're just being dumb now.
Well, you know, speaking of the Chiefs, one Mr. Carson Wentz is now the backup to Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, is that where he went? I wasn't even paying attention.
Yeah, he just signed with them yesterday.
Wow. Well, yeah, good for him. So, that was pretty funny that he's still in the league.
I think it's pretty funny that he's, you know, more than likely now going to get his second Super Bowl ring.
Yeah, you're right. Without ever having touched the football.
Yeah, without having to even play a postseason game, he's going to get his second Super Bowl ring.
So, okay, now hold on. Because you know how this is going to play out, right? So Mahomes is going to go down in like week 13 or 14. And, you know, they'll been riding high. But Wentz will take them all the way to the Super Bowl and they're going to win. Because that's how his story is going to be finished. Because, you know, it's all scripted.
Yeah. So
he's got to do the Nick Foles.
Yeah.
You know.
They'll run the KC special.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah. Yep. That's exactly how it's going to go. Yeah. Now that's just funny. He's been kicked around so many different times now at this point. It's just, you know, almost hysterical to see. I don't know. I guess back up in Kansas City. I mean, well, really?
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, I don't know.
Yeah, we'll have to see how it plays out. But, you know, good for him. He's there.
Yeah, Buccaneers signed Randy Gregory. So that I know Randy Gregory's coming toward the end now. They were needing an edge rusher. So they grabbed him up. Like I say, he's getting toward the end of his career. But I'm just glad he's no longer with the 49ers or the Cowboys or any of these other teams that he hurt us with all those years. So he is there now.
And the Eagles extended Reed Blankenship.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, they did. Trying to think, was there any other major trades or signings that we're going to talk about?
Quez Watkins is now going to be dropping passes for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah.
you know, that's pretty much it. Wait, who else did the Steelers get? I feel like the Steelers got somebody else.
Other than the Russell Wilson, Justin Fields stuff.
No, they got, remember, because they signed Cordarrelle Patterson, but I feel like they got somebody else too. Let me look it up real quick.
Yeah, that's one thing. Okay, so yeah, we really haven't dove into that one, but the NFL has decided to adopt a very XFL, UFL, whatever you want to call it now, style of a kickoff. I know you had commented to me immediately. It's like, okay, yep, Steelers are going to go sign Patterson. So,
yeah.
And we've talked about that previously, but it's just one of those funny things. It's like, wait a minute, now who are these teams going to go out and sign?
You know, I can't find who it was. I thought they had gotten somebody else recently, but people of note, they signed former Eagle punter Cameron Johnston to a 3-year deal.
Yeah.
So he was really good for us.
Yeah, maybe that was one you're thinking of.
No, I mean, that definitely was not, but you know. All right, so let's we've devoted too much time to Schittsburg here. So
We do have some other football stuff, though. And before we get into the NCAA stuff, though, I do want to say that the United Football League has kicked off. That's the combo of the USFL and XFL. I really haven't followed along a ton as to what happened, other than I saw that the Battlehawks lost. That was really the only one I was paying attention to.
Who did the Battlehawks play? Detroit. I forget who Detroit is. They're like the Battle Cats or something like that.
Or the I'm pulling up real quick. They're the Thundercats. It might be the Thundercats. I don't know. Let's see. I'm pulling up the scores from week one just out of curiosity.
Because they decided to troll the Battle Hawks decided to troll the Detroit team on Twitter, and they were up like huge at the half. And then they ended up losing.
The Michigan Panthers, that's who they lost. Michigan against. Panthers. 18-16, and that was right. That one kicker had like a 60-whatever-yard field goal to beat them. But now that you – I don't know. It's back. It's spring football. It is what it is. It's just, who knows if this will, be a moneymaker. XFL last year, I know, lost a ton of money. I guess remains to be seen on this stuff.
Well, dude, they need to do a better job of advertising because I had no fucking idea when they even started.
Yeah, it's weird. I think the only reason why I still see things for it's because it does come up in, I don't know, whether it's something I see on social media, Twitter, Facebook, whatever. It might be a sub article based because of a wrestling thing and it's connected to The Rock or whatever. And it might come up through that, but that's it. And you're right though. You don't see hardly anything about it. And then in fact, if I was even trying to pull up scores just on ESPN and it's like non-existent to them. So,
well, yeah, I mean, they don't got a stake in it. So they don't give a shit.
No. But speaking of, football still, and this is something that you threw at me earlier, and I just kind of blew my mind where this was, possibly going. So you want to do this one about the NCAA?
Yeah. So they're thinking about NCAA no more, and what they want to do is do like a 70-team league where you've got your standard, big time college football programs in like the top group there, and then have it where 10 of them. So I'll read it so I don't butcher it. So it would create a system that would have the top 70 programs, all members of the five former major conferences, plus Notre Dame and new ACC member SMU as permanent members, and encompass all 130 plus FBS universities. The perpetual members would be in seven 10-team divisions, joined by an eighth division of teams that would be promoted from the second tier. So it's kind of like soccer over in England and in Europe and stuff, where they have these, if you perform to a certain standard, you get promoted to the big leagues.
Mm-hmm.
And if you suck, you drop out of the big league and you get replaced by a more deserving team from the lower league. So I think that's really cool. And that gives, that gives other teams a chance to get this national exposure and to generate more interest and generate more revenue. And here's the key thing. All of the players will get paid.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're starting to see every single
college player will get paid.
Right. And you're starting to see that now come through with the NIL deals, obviously. So there's already some kind of monetary things there. And this is, I really got to thinking about this on based off one aspect and, looking at positional players and particularly the running back, because this is something we've talked about on here before, where running backs basically have a shelf life, good ones anyway, 6-8 years, and maybe sometimes, 10 if we're lucky. And then, every once in a blue moon, you'll get a Jerome Bettis. But seriously, and so now if you can, be doing that when you're in college and making some money doing that, then maybe you don't have to worry about it beyond, hey, I'm only going to have 3-4 years doing this in the NFL. So It's interesting because it does create almost a true minor league system, if you will, not right. necessarily tied to NFL franchises the way baseball would have it for their minor league teams, but just that feeder that you know, obviously that's what it is now, but just the ability to control it better, you know, make sure these people are paid, and if the format is you're right. I mean, it is the European football format. I love that. And yeah, if you suck, then you know you're out. I mean, and if you're performing well, then you get bumped up. I like that. I like that a lot. And I think you could see certain colleges, you know, really surprise. I don't know. It's interesting. It's wonder what this is. What kind of teeth this really has at this point?
I don't know. And that's the thing, though. It's being recommended by, let's see, who was it? So a group that includes several college presidents have tabled the proposal. So, I mean, I like it. I like it a lot. And it would... So the other thing that they're saying hopes to happen is that they, with this, it should allow for more of a collective bargaining for the players.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it would allow them to allow the college football teams themselves to kind of avoid antitrust issues that have kind of, not let them enforce their own rules, the NCAA, that is. Right. You know, and then it could put into place a transfer portal, salary structure rules, and all that stuff that could be bargained out.
Yeah.
And it could be more benefit. It'll be more benefit. Here's the deal. At the end of the day, it's more beneficial for both. It's both beneficial for both sides. I think more beneficial for the players, but the colleges definitely see benefits in it. Otherwise, they wouldn't even be thinking about it.
Exactly. Oh yeah, because there's gonna be a lot of money made.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what they. And I mean, it's really at the end of the day. That's what we're, seeing here. But look, we have some of these college man. They're turning out, you know, 100,000 plus fans a game, which is crazy.
Right.
You know, there it's a huge market. It's not. You know, I can't say it's untapped. It's certainly tapped, but you can tap it for more. But you can make it better for a lot of people involved. And like I said, I think that's why it just thinking about this, I look at the running back because I know that's been a big complaint about, well, we don't get paid enough and blah, 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 and all this stuff. I was like, well, now you've got an extra window here to make some cash. And maybe that would quell some of your concerns. Probably not because, you know, people are greedy. But I think it would be at least it's one thing to look at. Right. It's like, hey, now you have a longer window to make money rather than just this, you know, small set in the NFL, even if you even get that far,
right? You know, right? No, absolutely.
But the interesting thing would be, it's like, what kind of salaries are we talking about here? Because to me, it would be like XFL type stuff, but with that many people, I mean,
that's the thing. You got to look at now. Is this going to reduce the roster size for the colleges? Maybe because now you're paying. You know, yeah, I would imagine it's more than the $600 or whatever, you know, whatever they get now.
Yeah.
I was thinking the NCAA. I'm like, imagine it's more than like the $600 and a copy of NCAA football that you get now. But no, I forgot that they get, you know,
you get two free copies now.
Hey, there you go. Shit, one for you, one for a friend. Yeah. When you take the GameStop and get 5 cents for it.
No, it's interesting. It really is. I'm really curious to see, you know, just the, you know, in the one article of Bleacher Report that talks about it, I'm really kind of curious to see if this at least kind of starts a conversation and to changing some other things. So regardless if this all comes to fruition or not, maybe it'll change something. So I'm just kind of curious to see that play through. But was there anything else football related or was that it?
I think that was it for football. Aside from, you know what? Hey, maybe this will get maybe this will lead to the bands getting paid,
the marching
bands,
yeah,
and the cheerleaders.
Yeah, very well could.
I'm all for that too. I mean, obviously, it's gonna, you know, there has to be a where do we stop?
But right.
I mean, I figure, look, it's all part of the football, right?
Yeah.
So you pay everybody involved.
Yeah. Yeah.
But who am I?
Yeah. Trying to think if we have anything else to touch on sports wise, real quick here. What else do you got?
Joel Embiid came back.
Yeah, Embiid's back.
The Flyers have the tallest goalie in the NHL.
That's something.
And Bryce finally broke off the schneid and hit 3 home runs and 3 at bats.
Yeah, he went bananas yesterday. You know, including a grand slam. It's good to see. Unfortunately, they couldn't hold it tonight, but
nope.
The weather was crap
tonight. I
mean, it was like a 3-hour rain delay, whatever. So, I mean, come on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But aside from that, the only thing I can think of is fuck Dallas and fuck the Braves and the Mets.